United States is for Fig Newton. It was named after Newton, Massachusetts.
Oh.
I haven't had a Fig Newton in a really long time.
It's because they're bad cookies.
Man, you're really downing on a lot of things that I like this morning. Jeez, don't yuck my yum.
Don't what?
Don't yuck my yum.
Got it.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the noon hour, the lunch hour of As Goes Wisconsin on this beautiful, sunny Friday. Just a reminder, at some point this hour, we are going to give away two pairs. Not one pair.
Two.
Two pairs, four tickets in total. Of free tickets to see Charlie Behrens live Monday night in Madison at Comedy on State at 7:30. He is recording his Cripes Cast podcast, which airs on Civic Media across this, all of our stations from on Saturdays and Sundays. He is recording live with Mike Wagner, who is a professor at UW-Madison. And we have, for one, the tickets are in the first three rows, so very good tickets.
VIP seating.
So at some point this hour, I will narrow it down. We're going to be giving those away, but you're going to have to be able to call in quickly and maybe answer a couple Wisconsin trivia questions. So write the number down now, 844-967-2789. But we're not giving them away now, because now we have a guest, which we're very excited about, because this is a topic. We talk about a lot of different things on As Goes Wisconsin, but we have not talked about esports yet. And our guest who is here in person, I'm looking at him right now, is Brandon Chalker, who is the founder of MKE Sports Alliance. And he and I met about a year ago?
Yeah, probably something like that.
Make sure you're right up in the mic. Because we were doing videos at Milwaukee Journal Sentinel trying to get people in the community to talk about big ideas and things that you would say, this could move the needle for Milwaukee, this could move the needle for Wisconsin. And what you have put your money on that could move the needle for Milwaukee and Wisconsin is esports.
Yep.
And I told you, what is that? So let's start there, Brandon.
Yeah, that's always a well-received question and something I feel, hopefully after 2.5 years, I can answer with some assurity. But yeah, the way I describe it in layman's terms is everyone knows basketball, everyone knows baseball, they know the traditional sports. You can think of it in the context of just playing a sport, but virtually doing a video game. So there's popular titles that a lot of people are familiar with, like a Rocket League, which in that you drive cars around an arena hitting a soccer ball into a net with cars, right? And it's one of the more popular titles in the world. When the easiest way I can ever describe to people, like, what is esports? It's competitive gaming. It's people playing each other either on phones or computers or consoles in the same way that they would compete against one another in basketball.
And it's a team sport. I think that was the thing that I didn't understand until we first met and we were talking about it, is that I totally understand the concept of people sitting in their basement, friend groups playing video games. I dated someone at some point, like that was a part of his daily routine to unwind, was to play his game. And I was like, I'm going to sit here and scroll through Instagram. So mm-hmm. I get it. Mm-hmm. But what I didn't understand was that there's high school teams, there's college teams,
yep.
and it is a team atmosphere and not just individuals, and that it is not only in some places a club sport, but now in some places a varsity sport.
Oh, for sure.
And so how does it work? And I mean, how close is it to like people to maybe wrap your head around it? Like, is it closer to like a chess club team that competes, or like a math team that goes and competes, or is it closer to actual sports?
I would put it closer to actual. So
really?
I would put it like a football, again, a basketball. So you've got, you know, a variety of ways that usually shakes out. I'll speak to the sort of competitive team element like we're sort of discussing. But, you know, in Wisconsin, for example, we have a Wisconsin High School Esports Association, right? Some people are sometimes shocked to learn that. They just had their state playoffs up in UW-River Falls. And so in many cases, you know, I think we have 130, maybe 140 high school teams now in Wisconsin who have a team. They can have varsity. They can have JV. They can have a club, right? So there's a number of different iterations that it can go under, but it will follow in many cases the traditional sports model of having those varsity rosters, having those matches on a Tuesday and Wednesday night, going through semifinals all the way to the state playoffs, which just occurred. So it's very similar in many respects for what I would term esports. There's a lot of broad definitions that still encompass things like what you're describing, maybe an individual competing against other individuals in augmented reality or things of that variety. But when I consider esports, or I'm just speaking to someone who's like, what are you talking about? What is this topic? I just say, hey, it's very similar to the traditional, and you're going to have kind of like what you described.
We're talking to Brandon Chalker, who is the founder of MKE Sports Alliance, which I guess that it doesn't necessarily say what the sport it is, but it's an esports like advocacy group,
yes.
Right?
Yep. Yeah, exactly. I think the easiest way I've kind of understand it is like in other industries, there'd be trade associations, right? And we don't charge dues in that way that you have to pay us to get access to information, but we try to provide information or as much as possible to really the community in general. So again, we focus primarily on the Southern Wisconsin region and Wisconsin as a whole. And we think of that as places like you have a high school, entities, like I mentioned, 140 some teams now. We've got 26 universities with teams. We have a professional team in Milwaukee, the Bucks gaming entity under Milwaukee Bucks. We've got leagues, we've got venues, we've got all of this different stuff that previously was just sort of all operating independently without really a come together point. And that's what we try to do. We just try to be a place where, hey, you just started a gaming lounge. Let's get connected to the community. Or, hey, you just won the NBA 2K championship, $1.5 million. People should know about that, right? So we try to make sure that people get that information.
Wait, is there someone who made $500,000 in Wisconsin playing?
The Milwaukee Bucks team, Bucks Gaming, won the NBA 2K 2022 5v5 championship and $1.5 million. Yep.
And does that money go to the players?
Is it virtual money? No.
Yeah, real money. No, some does go to the players and others of it go to the organization. But it's a fascinating landscape. It kind of goes in the same way of like NIL and all these different evolving ways.
What's that NIL again?
That's where the collegiate athletes can get paid now.
That's the reason,
Name, image, and likeness. And so it's all that evolving landscape. But yeah, if you compete in a esports tournament and you win, that goes to the individual, or if you're part of an organization, then it gets split with the organization. So it's pretty fascinating.
Brandon, are there coaches for this? And if there are coaches, is it like, keep going around in a circle? You're doing great.
No, yeah, there absolutely are coaches. Coaches, assistant coaches, trainers, psychologists, like everything that you may consider to wrap a traditional sport is starting to create or become a part of the esports landscape as well, and actually some really cool ways. But no, I mean, there's performance coaches. So I mentioned Rocket League. I mean, there are people who are, hey, like, let's train to get better at Rocket League. And I think that's sort of one of the things that's misunderstood, perhaps, like the same amount of intensity, time, dedication, talent is required to be successful in esports as any other discipline, right? And I think that sometimes that can be a little bit like, right? But like, it's really interesting because you don't have to be 6'4", 240, and 1'4", 3" to like be successful in esports. You have to have those characteristics to play in the NFL. Like, you could be 5'9", 120, but like have to have an IQ of 160 and be able to like work with your teammates and have quick twitch reflexes to be good at Fortnite or to be good at League of Legends. And it's like, it allows for the entire part of the population, including those who might be 6'4", 240, because it's incredibly popular, to get involved. And that's, I think, what kind of gives it its like unrivaled ceiling, is there is no ceiling. Everyone can play video games, girls, guys, socioeconomic high, low. It's just kind of a fascinating place.
Well, and I think that's why I put the example out as far as where on the scale between a physical sport versus like chess, because I think of like what you just described is, I don't know because I don't play video games, but like to be good at video games is much more mental than unless there's like stamina and you're playing for a super long time and there's a different physical aspect to it, but it seems like something that is much more of a mental game, and that in order to get better and to practice is much more about your brain than like running a mile under 5 minutes or working on how you're vertical and jumping higher and stuff like that. And so that's why I kind of put it over there. But So what is the innate talent that you couldn't teach someone that just makes them good at games?
Yeah, I mean, I think the teamwork side, because we talk about being a team sport, is really critical. And so that's kind of a fascinating thing just as an observer in many cases, is that like you can be a really impressive individual performer, but unless you can perform with your team and learn strategy with your team, you won't be able to succeed. And that's a fascinating component. Like sometimes on a soccer field, you can be Pele, you can be Maradona, like you can do these things and just like shine above the rest. But like in a competitive esports environment, you just have to play with your teammates with strategy because there's so many other dynamics. But you know, I think I mentioned like fast twitch muscles, I'm not going to think of the professional term, but the way like your eye
and eye coordination
connects, yeah, it has to be huge. And one of the things that's fascinating and we're really excited is there's a group in Madison called, Miller Sports Medicine, who I had just become aware of. They're out of Prairie du Chien. They're in 130 countries. Like they've got a wing at Madison. Like they're basically the sports tape, as I was told, like in every locker room in the country. And they've just recently opened up or in the process of opening an esports lab because they're realizing like there are real injuries and there are real,
really?
Oh, for sure. Like sustained stamina issues that occur when you play video games 8 hours a day. Because, you know, it's fascinating, right? But you're looking at a screen, you're moving your hands, like it really has the type of impact.
Like carpal tunnel
yeah,
type
like
stuff.
Like for real stuff. And so now there's this whole new burgeoning branch of like physical performance. So you mentioned, Jane, you asked a question about coaches, right? So like I know because we talked to every university in the state once a month about their programs. So many of them now have like official weight like regiments, the same way a basketball team would,
what?
Right? Because it helps performance. Like if you can't sustain that stamina and perform, like your Fortnite team won't do well or your League of Legends team won't do well. And so it's like I said, it's in its infancy. It's like when basketball was 10 years old with Naismith, that's what esports is right now. Like we're in the literally infinitesimal point of a already over $1 billion industry and everyone's just sort of figuring out as they go. But it's being led by the fact that 98% of kids under 18 play video games. Like it is the next generation's currency. It's their communication track. Like it's how they interact. If you have nieces, if you have nephews, I always tell like, I don't have to tell it. Go talk to your 13-year-old nephew. Like the kid will be like, yeah, I play basketball, I play soccer, and I play Fortnite every night. And you're just like, whoa, this is weird, right? So it's like, we're just trying to help bring that to Wisconsin, help bring that to this place. I did it for my son because I wanted to know what his world was going to be. But I also just think, and this is at the most macroeconomic level, it's like cold as hell here for 6 months a year. Like we should be really good at video games. Like I just think that's true versus like kids in SoCal who might just be like, I think I'll just stay outside in January.
Surf.
Yeah. So like
skateboard.
Anyway, that's just my personal belief.
Well, I feel like I have so many more questions because I feel like when we come back from the break, talking about what on an economic level for the state and the city, what needs to happen, what your ideal growth looks like, but also, yeah, so we'll talk about that when we come back. Our guest is Brandon Chalker, who's the founder of MKE Sports Alliance. Stay with us.
You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin, a product of Civic Media. Enjoy it live across Wisconsin, Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Find your local station on our website, civicmedia.us, or on the Civic Media app, and catch any of your favorite shows as a podcast wherever you listen.
Brandon Chalker, and this is why Milwaukee and Wisconsin need to invest in esports. Video games are taking over the world, but there's a very good chance you already knew that since 98% of kids under 18 play video games often. Here's what you didn't know. Milwaukee and Wisconsin have a once-in-a-generation opportunity to capitalize on esports. What is esports? The quick and easy is that it's playing video games competitively, just like you would in any other sport. While investments into video game culture have been growing for a decade in places like Europe and Asia, it's just now picking up steam in North America. It's going to be a very big deal here. Want proof? According to Newzoo, the estimated value of the global esports industry in 2020 was $900 million. By 2025, it's estimated to be $3.5 billion. And regions like Milwaukee, Madison, and really the state as a whole, have a chance to capture some of those dollars. The good news, some of this work is already happening. Nearly every Wisconsin university will have an esports program or team in the next 2 or 3 years. The Wisconsin High School Esports Association, yep, we have one, grew from 7 teams to 106 teams in the last 5 years. And our NBA champion, Milwaukee Bucks, also have a pro esports team, Bucks Gaming, which is a big deal. The bad news, other regions are moving way faster to develop their esports infrastructure. infrastructure. State governments are pouring millions into tax credits and incentives to accelerate their growth. We should do that too, and consider opening some esports venues. The point is, we may only get one chance to capture a piece of this gigantic industry. So let's get in the game.
Let's get in the game. Let's do it. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Welcome back. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. And that was, and still is live, Brandon Chalker, who is the founder of MKE Sports Alliance. And that was your video from when we did last year with Journal Sentinel. And the end part of that is kind of where I want to talk about now, because there is a political element, or not politics, there's a policy governmental element both at the city level, but also the state level, as far as keeping pace with what other states are doing when it comes to esports to take advantage of the economic opportunity that's there. So as far as maybe just get a little bit more into that of like, what are we doing? What mm-hmm. should we be doing? What would you like to see us do?
Yeah, I appreciate the question. I think it's timely because of your guest just previous to this, obviously, right? Like yeah. Mayor Johnson was down at South by Southwest, and his, you know, much of what I'm assuming he was down there to do is advocate, is showcase why Milwaukee, why perhaps Wisconsin, like what are the factors that differentiated us? Everyone's trying to do the same thing, right? And so like in that video, and what we try to do as an organization is we try to be an advocate. We stay as much as possible, hence our name, to kind of the Southern Wisconsin region, because mm-hmm. that's where we don't want to like say we're bigger than we are. So Milwaukee, Madison, kind of down to Chicago is the corridor we're best suited to sort of do our advocacy for, but we really try to also operate because there is no other entity at this point. We try to, you know, make the connective tissue for the state of Wisconsin, because I just think it's appropriate. And we have so many incredible things happening all across the state, from La Crosse to Stevens Point, Green Bay, Appleton, you name it, it's happening. And so, you know, our job is to try and tell a story as well to national, tournaments, to investors, to others. So we're constantly out there doing the same type of thing that maybe Cavalier was doing down at South By. And I also think we're also on the hunt to grow local, you know, because one of the things that's never lost upon me is there's always like, at least in my experience, there's like a tipping point in an industry where you've got the early adopters as sort of like take real estate, right? And they start to own all of the things that are happening. And one of the things that keeps me up at night is this idea that like we may not control our future. Like it may be the case that right now we have a nonprofit in Wisconsin who runs the high school association and has 130 teams. It's being done by a high school teacher. I mean, it's like in addition to his day job, he's running this incredible mm-hmm. league. He's an incredible leader. But there's also VC-funded for-profit firms out there that have high schools pay them to be in their league run out of California that are not as positive for the students, that are not as positive for the experience, but it's a for-profit model. And like if all of a sudden Mike walks away from our local nonprofit, then we just lose control over our high school esports ecosystem in Wisconsin, and we may never get it back. So I'm just like very passionate about like, hey, friends in Wisconsin and around the region, this is our chance. Like we have the opportunity to home grow businesses and leagues and groups like ours to be able to own our own ecosystem and create our own tournaments and create our own venues and create sort of that opportunity in this massively growing industry. And you just see it in other places like, you know, high-speed internet and different things. It gets owned by others. So I'm passionate about it, but there's only realistically I've come to learn you can do it to a large degree, and then you need public-private partnership, typically, especially at the early stage, especially in an industry that's figuring out its revenue models. So yeah, we've had some policy discussions with, you know, different folks from around the state. We try to share the story as much as possible, but as you alluded to, there's a lot happening very quickly in other parts of the country where, unfortunately, you know, we're going to be sort of behind the eight ball. But I'm always optimistic that you can catch up, and that with intention and not smoke and mirrors, not selling things as more than they can be, but trying to be realistic about the impact they can have, that we can really get the ball moving even more quickly with more public-private and with, you know, more, I would call it city and state leaders.
Brandon, because we've got esports teams in high schools and colleges, I'm envisioning a senior esports league where the only thing we play is Pac-Man because it's old and it's slow.
Sure, I'm up for it. If we want to do Galaga or Wii Sports, yeah, a lot of great options. I think, it's funny. Like, I think AR, VR is the future. Like, that's just, again, personal mm-hmm. opinion. I have this vision of being, like, 60-year-olds in an immersive VR environment, like, competing in NBA type of basketball. Like, I'm hopeful, Jane, that that's the reality we all can look forward to. Because, like, I want to be in the old folks home doing that, like watching Andy Griffith.
Yeah, I would sign up for that. Absolutely.
That's what I'm saying. We could compete against each other. It'd be great.
I would love to see Jane just with, like, an Oculus on Quest, and just, like, do it like in the office one day trying to like score a basket.
I'm in the paint. I don't know what that is, but I'm there.
Give me the ball.
Yeah. I'm open.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that. Actually, I had done a mentorship for a group that was pairing together physical therapy and virtual reality. And basically there's a more complete way to track a PT patient's recovery through VR.
Oh, wow.
I mean, you talk about like there's just the implications. There's a million, but that was one of them I liked because, again, you can actually do in-person stuff virtually. It's great.
All right. Well, we only have a minute left. So, Brandon, where should people go if they want to learn more about esports and esports in Wisconsin?
Yeah. I mean, we always try to be a starting point for people to like answer a question and then pass them off somewhere else. So I always say, you know, visit our website, mkeesports.com. You can shoot me an email. It's just brandon@mkeesports.com. We're on every social channel. We've got Discord, which is where all the gamers actually talk. And so anything, any questions, please reach out. We try to do advocacy for parents, you know, whatever's out there. There's a lot of questions and happy to be a place to start.
All right. Brandon Chalker, founder at MKE Esports Alliance. Thanks for joining us and excited to see this thing as it develops.
Great to be here.
All right. We'll be back in a minute. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. And in the next segment, so not this segment, but in the next segment.
Before 1 o'clock,
after 12:50.
That's narrowing it down nicely.
The fifth caller, we'll say fifth caller to call, will win one of the two pairs of tickets we have for Charlie Barron's on Monday. 7:30, he's recording his Kripescast live at Comedy on State. We have VIP tickets to give away, two pairs. We're going to give away the first pair in the next segment, so you have to be the fifth caller. And I think we'll probably give it to you no matter what, but we might get you on the phone to answer a couple trivia questions. So even if you get it, no pressure, because we don't have all day to be trying to find someone who can get the right answer, but we're still going to have some fun with you. So write this number down if you want to win these tickets, 844-967-2789. Or if you want to win them for someone else, because we will, whoever's the winner, we'll get your information. If there's someone you want to gift them to, we can get their information. But because we know if you're in Madison, you may not be hearing this till tonight.
Yeah, exactly. and the show Monday is in Madison.
The Monday show is in Madison. It's on State Street in Madison. But, you know, I think people are willing to travel to see Charlie.
Without a doubt.
I think people have traveled far to go see him. He is a very popular feller. And I will. Are you going to go? Because I think Civic Media has extra tickets for us. I have said on a Monday night, I'm...
Monday night at 7:30, not a chance.
Not a chance.
If he was doing it at 4, like the early bird, you know, if there was an early bird show at 4 o'clock, I would totally be there.
Yeah. Well, there's going to be lots of other Civic Media folks there as well. Not that... I mean, Charlie's the star.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Yeah.
But so get your dialing fingers ready. 844-967-2789. Fifth caller in the next segment. It's going to win the tickets, but only if you answer some questions, even if you answer them incorrectly. Did you learn anything about esports, Jane?
I did. I thought it was really...
Did he change your mind?
No, I still think it's really stupid.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you think Chess Club is stupid?
No. And I understand the reflexes and the importance of that, and I certainly can respect the amount of concentration it takes to play a video game for 8 hours, but I think I have more of an issue with them calling it a sport. If it was the e-gaming club or something like that, I guess I would be more accepting, but calling it sports just doesn't add up for me.
I feel like this is the eternal question of what is a sport versus what is a game. Like, is bowling a sport?
it is considered a sport.
Do you think it's a sport?
Well, there's a ball involved.
Is that your threshold? Well, there's no ball in swimming. Is swimming a sport?
But it's the athleticism.
What about darts?
Yeah, I wouldn't call darts a sport.
What about archery? It's an Olympic sport.
I know. Yeah, I would. Yeah. Even though there's no ball, there's an arrow. We'll make it a sport. It's one of those terms that's just pretty broad.
What about NASCAR and Formula One?
Driving around in a circle?
Yes.
For hours and hours and hours.
For hours and hours.
I know.
Well, Formula One's different than NASCAR. NASCAR, as I understand it, is just a circular track. But Formula One, which has now become very, very, very popular, after Netflix had that series on it, there's tons of people now who are very into the sport. My husband likes Formula One, but not as much as his brother-in-law, who takes it very seriously.
Really?
Very, very seriously. For me, Formula One is, I don't understand it enough to sit there and appreciate it, but I think there's a certain threshold for any kind of game or sport that you have to understand enough to appreciate it. And when you don't, it just looks confusing. You're like, I don't know what am I looking for?
Yeah. What am I watching for?
But I think that, that's not what the question we're going to stay on, but it is an eternal question of what is a sport versus what is a game. Cause I think that, you know, I don't know if bowling is a sport.
Why? Because you used to be able to smoke and drink.
Yeah.
But they used to do that. You know, baseball players used to do that.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But
anyway, I think I'm onto something with the senior e-gaming
league. I think you're definitely onto something.
Yeah,
that'll give people something to do.
Yeah. Really slow games, though. We'll play really slow games.
Paul.
We're only so quick. Come on.
I feel like you still have some quick twitch in you.
We'll do a matchup.
All right. Well, speaking of what I didn't get to ask Brandon, as far as the policy stuff that they're working on and trying to talk to leaders at the state level or the city level, because, you know, the CEO of TikTok testified yesterday.
Right.
It was pretty heated in certain parts. From the clips that I saw, I think this was happening. Well, he was there for 4 hours, but I think a lot of it we were on air, and so I've only seen clips instead of sitting down watching C-SPAN for 4 hours. But he didn't make that much progress, it sounds like. But they also didn't let him answer questions.
Oh, there's a shocker.
Some of the clips I saw, they just kept talking over him, and when he would try to answer, but he didn't really instill confidence that TikTok had a firewall against China. One example is he couldn't unequivocally deny that Chinese ByteDance employees can access U.S. user data. The quote was, "I think, quite frankly, your testimony has raised more questions for me than answers." That was from Democratic Representative Lisa Blunt, Rochester. But it wasn't just, the only thing they didn't just focus on data security stuff. They attacked the app for problems like misinformation, addiction, dangerous viral trends, which in reality are problems on every app.
I was going to say Twitter. I mean, you just described Twitter.
Yeah. And I mean, the viral trends is pretty unique to TikTok, but misinformation, addiction, and other dangerous things. This is the world we're living in where as of yesterday, Utah, another story out of Utah. Utah governor signs laws requiring parents' consent for minors to use social media. And that's not just TikTok, that's social media.
Facebook, Instagram, all of it.
And so, you know, I've been very honest that I would really like TikTok not to go away. I don't know where it goes from here. The Biden administration has demanded that ByteDance sell its stake in TikTok or get booted from the U.S. China has responded that it will firmly oppose a forced sale. And, you know, one of the points that the TikTok CEO made yesterday is that 150 million Americans are active users on TikTok.
Wow.
That's 45% of the population.
That's crazy.
And I think his not so subtle message was, do you really think you can take something away from nearly half Americans that they love and still expect to be reelected? And I listen, I don't know if this becomes a voting issue for people, but 150 million, this is not just kids that are on TikTok. There's tons of businesses that rely on this as a lead generation. There's tons of adults like me who are on there. Like, it is bigger than just the teenage, like the kids. Well, you look skeptical.
No, I just find it really interesting that they're concerned about half of the population having something taken away from them, which is exactly what they just did with overturning Roe.
Well, I don't think the politicians are concerned. The CEO was making that point.
Right. I understand.
Yeah.
Again, I just found that that just kind of jumped out at me.
But so that was kind of the bigger picture for TikTok. But I was really interested in this Utah thing. So basically, it reminds me of the Louisiana bill from earlier this year saying you have to put your ID in to watch porn. And they have until, with this new law, they have until they being Meta and I guess TikTok, but like basically social media apps, have until 2024 to make the changes. So it was basically two pieces of social media regulation that require social media companies to get parental consent for minors using their services. And this makes Utah the first state to impose such measures anywhere in the U.S. But there's other states that are considering this.
I'm sure.
And it's basically they have to verify the age of any Utah resident. So I don't know if that means an ID.
Wow.
Because I feel like if it's like going to a liquor website and you're like, are you 21? You're like, yes, I am.
You bet I am.
You're no verification beyond that. So it makes verifies age of any Utah resident, get parental consent for any minor who wishes to make a profile. They would also force social media companies to allow parents to access posts and messages from their child's account. And the laws also prohibit social media companies from displaying ads to minors, showing minor accounts in search results, collecting information about minors, targeting or suggesting content to minors, or knowingly integrating addictive technologies into social media apps used by minors. That part makes me want to be a minor. if we could do like all of that and take that part away from social media, which we'll never do because that's how they actually make their money.
Well, I was going to say, that's the business model.
That is the business model. And, you know, it's interesting for me because the conflict for me is this is such an interesting time of how this is all going to play out. Because on the one hand, we have this TikTok pending ban. And for me, who likes TikTok and sees the value in TikTok, does not want that to go away. This feels like there's probably some free speech things that are going to come up as far as the challenge to if this is right. But I'm not naive to the issues that social, like the mental health issues,
addiction issues,
misinformation issues that they cause. And so is it as simple as, well, protect the children and then adults are just on their own? Because this is the first law that's been signed into any state law. There could be others that follow because we've talked about the lobbyists that are in DC, but there's lobbyists in every state. And so they basically in Utah, in this article, they said that there was a lot of social media companies trying to dissuade them.
I'm sure.
And it didn't work. And, but you know, there's lawsuits that keep popping up as far as, I think it was the Seattle school district is suing different social media companies for mental health issues. There's other, like there was a federal bill introduced. And so I don't know, like, do you have cause it's like, it feels on the, like, cause I think for me on the TikTok side, it feels like it's potentially limiting free speech. But does that apply when we're talking about minors?
Yeah, that's where it's going to be twitchy.
Yeah.
And I'm also just shocked that no one has come up with a competing app. Is it is the formula for TikTok so top secret and so hidden, and none of these brilliant programmers can figure out another alternative to this particular platform? That really surprises me.
I don't know, and I've said this before. I think the existing companies have not figured it out because there's so many different features. Like when Instagram started, it was a photo app to share with your friends.
Right.
When Facebook started, it was TikTok was one of the first, I guess YouTube, but YouTube's more of a search engine. TikTok was really the first, someone might correct me that it's not the first, but it felt like the most different experience of it was just serving you content. And it also is basically just videos. And so it's more simplistic in what it's giving you and how well it serves that to you, that the other rival platforms are trying to like glob that on to what it already is, which is not how user behavior works as far as what I go to each of these apps for. And so I feel like for something to be successful, it would have to be net new. But we'll keep talking about this afterwards. But also, 844-967-2789. Fifth caller, we're going to get you on the air and get you some tickets. That's 844-96-PARTY. If you want to go see Charlie Behrens, this is As Goes Wisconsin.
State, where would you reside? Not quite Canada. Great Lakes are by her side. Home of Aldo Leopold, Big Sky and Orson Welles. Steve Miller Band, lots of used up shotgun shells. Where everyone's your neighbor.
Well, welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. And we are giving away free Charlie Behrens tickets for Monday night in Madison, 7:30. Do we have a caller?
We have caller number 5 on the line. This is Mike from Brookfield. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing very well, Jane.
Happy to have you on the phone, Mike. All right, so we're going to give you the tickets no matter what. You get a two tickets, but
VIP seats.
VIP seats. You'll get to meet other civic media folks. But we're going to have you answer some questions in the meantime.
Just to check your creds as a Wisconsinite.
Yeah, you know, because recently...
I'm a transplant, but I'll try my best.
Oh, where are you moved? Where are you from?
I'm originally from upstate New York.
Oh, interesting.
That's kind of like northern Wisconsin. We'll give you a pass on that.
they're quite similar.
It's a similar climate.
Exactly.
All right,
yes,
so
yes.
We'll see...
A lot of Germans.
We'll see how you do on this. So, you know, okay. Recently... Wisconsin Republicans floated a bill to designate a state rifle. We'll see if that actually happens or not. But it brought up, for me, asking a reminder of what our other designated state symbols are. So let's see how many of these you can get, Mike. So what is Wisconsin's state bird?
The sandhill crane.
Or it might be a robin.
Oh, or that. It's a taller version of a robin.
Yes, it is a stretched out robin.
Considerably larger robin.
All right, we'll do two more. What is Wisconsin's state tree?
The larch.
What's a larch tree?
That is a Monty Python reference, isn't it, Mike?
Yes, it is.
The larch. I think it's a maple tree.
Oh, Jane, you're really good at this. It is a sugar maple.
A sugar maple. All right.
All right. We'll do one dance. Hopefully this is an easy one. You've been in Wisconsin long enough. What is Wisconsin's official state dance?
Oh, the polka.
Yay!
All right, Mike,
you are our big winner.
Well done.
So if you're awesome. In Brookfield, are you going to make the drive?
If I can't, I will give these to my son. He's a junior at Madison.
Oh, that'll be great. So it's two tickets. We'll keep you on the phone, And so we can get your information, because how it's going to work is basically the box office will have your the names. And so you'll show up on Monday and you'll get your tickets in person, just like everyone else. I haven't actually checked. Thanks so much for playing, Mike.
Mike, don't hang up, okay?
Jane will get your information right now.
You're going to have to hang for just a little bit.
But we, I don't even know if, I think it's sold out. It sold, I mean, it was pretty quick yesterday as far as I think.
It went
like,
fast.
It went pretty fast over, right when it went live, I think it, over half were sold within the first hour. So I'd have to check with some of our teammates who are keeping track of that as far as how much.
What's available.
What's available.
If anything.
So we still have one more pair to give away, though. So there are some other state symbols that we have not asked. So in the next hour,
all right, you got another,
we will
you got
play
one
this
more chance.
Again.
One more
so
chance.
You have one more chance. I might have to do a reminder on Twitter that it is your chance in the next hour to win. And can you do you think you were pretty good at that?
I've been here a long time.
That's true.
And certain things just make sense. When you start getting a little more into some of the deeper ones, I don't know that I'm going to do so well. Because
like rock, insect, and flower?
We have a state rock? Oh, I'm so excited. Wait, let me guess. Limestone.
I'm not going to tell you now.
Oh, geez.
We're going to ask
well, now
the
I'm,
person in the next.
Now I'm certainly staying for the show.
Exactly. Well, you have to. We pay you to be here. And so coming up in the next segment, we still got a couple minutes in this one segment, but Matt Miller is going to be back, and we're going to talk about how there's no... And I guess I wouldn't know this, but apparently there's no kid movies in theaters right now.
Not even a superhero movie?
I guess the only real, like, Shazam is out right now. And I think I saw Matt tweet this, and this is how I know this. I saw Shazam 1, and it was fun. But Shazam 2, I think it's PG-13.
You're kidding me.
Or maybe PG, but I think that there's some like violent elements to it. So it is not, it's certainly not like a little kid's movie. And I think that is super interesting as far as, you know, the opportunities to take your kids, throw them in a, you know, take them somewhere and just to not like kind of have between all the studios have a block of time where there is no kid movies out to actually in the theater. And so we're going to talk to him about that, and some of the other stories that we're going to throw around is the Writers Guild of America. This is super interesting. The Writer Guild, people who this is their job, is to write. And you'd think that they would be threatened by ChatGPT and all of these AI services that are now popping up, because it seems like, oh, people who are writers, like this thing can just write for me.
That seems bad.
But the Writers Guild of America has proposed that AI can help write TV and film scripts.
Really?
Human writers would get all of the credit and compensation, but as far as being able to leverage the technology, they've proposed that as an opportunity.
Oh, and you don't think machines are going to raise up and riot because they're not getting credit? Come on. It's the setup for the apocalypse. And this is going to kill all humanity.
This is going to be the end of us. Yes. So stick around for the next hour. We still have another pair of tickets to give away for Charlie Behrens, which is going to be Monday night in Madison at Comedy on State. He is recording the Cripes Cast, which you can also hear every Saturday and Sunday across the Civic Media Network. But he's going to be recording it live. And this is your opportunity to see him live, 7:30.
Live in the flesh.
Monday. So we got one more pair of tickets to give away then. When we come back, Matt Miller from the culture editor at On Milwaukee will be here. And then in the last segment, before we wrap up the day, lap babies on planes. Because flight attendants now want to ban lap babies on planes.
Yeah.
Which, safety-wise, makes sense. But I feel like there's a lot of parents who've gotten used to not having to pay for tickets for their kids who are under 2.
Right.
That would maybe have a problem with this. So we're going to talk about it. Come back. We're going to have the news next. But when we come back, Matt Miller will be here, and we still have Charlie Behrens tickets to give away. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Money on DeBrot or Frankfurter.
Took my fishing pole to win.
Sometimes when you're ice fishing, you put your foot into walleye hole and go ass over teeth. kettle and you think you're done, no, you gotta keep her moving.
When it all goes to hell and I need my head right, I go to where there ain't no stopping, no lights. But I got no desire for the five-star resort.
Got a cousin with a cabin way up north.
When it's cold in the winter, I drink beer and trade. When the snow unthaws, you can bet I'll drop a ski.
Hey, dear Uncle Mike, can I drop a ski guy or no?
Thank you for listening to As Goes Wisconsin, available on Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please subscribe and leave us a rating. As Goes Wisconsin is a product of Civic Media and airs live across Wisconsin Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Civic Media is a statewide network of radio stations broadcasting local news, local sports, thoughtful commentary, and hand-picked music. We are always streaming on the Civic Media app. Find out where you can listen on the air or learn more about Civic Media and sponsorship opportunities by going to our website, civicmedia.us. We thank you for listening.